You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, Drew Gasparini here from Now We're Talking with Drew Gasparini. Just letting you know that you can now support our podcast by becoming a patron of our show on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/NWT podcast, and for as little as $5 a month, you can help keep this podcast alive. Podcasting is fun, but it's a lot of work. From booking our star-studded guest list to research, writing, hosting, recording, editing, and beyond, this particular podcast is a one-man operation through and through. So $5 a month can really go a long way, not to mention the perks you get by becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/NWT podcast to see how you can support us today. Hi, it's everyone's favorite sex toy, Drew Gasparini here with another episode of Now We're Talking, the podcast that just started dating your mom. I am nothing but smiles because of our amazing guest today. You probably know her from her work as a performer and educator online from her own highly visited social media pages or her popular masterclass series, Breaking Down the Riffs. She's been seen on stage in Les Mis, on Broadway in Everyday Rapture, off-Broadway in the Emoji Musical, and her number of sold-out concerts all over the country and around the world. Chances are you're already a fan of hers, just like I am and have been ever since I saw her singing Jonathan Reed Gelt's song Quiet. But today, let's make some noise, because now we're talking with Natalie Weiss. Natalie Weiss is in the house, and she is scarfing down her lunch right now. I actually want to talk to you about because you texted me and you're like, is it okay if I'm eating lunch while we record? And I said, of course that's okay. But I want to point this out. It is. It's super cash. I don't understand when you say lunch and it's 4 p.m.
I don't understand that either.
In what do you have an eating system, a time, a routine that I am just not understanding at all? And look, by the way, in solidarity, I'm munching as well. So,
what are you eating?
An energy cookie. For all you people who love mouth noises, this is the episode for you.
No, I don't have a system. I just was rehearsing with my friend who just left.
Amazing.
And I was like, I have to go now. And I tend to not build in breaks, and I'm always running late.
Uh-huh. Running late's a great quality in somebody. I love that. Don't you love that?
It's such a great quality.
Hey, Natalie, I haven't seen you in a good long time. You look great.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
What you been doing?
The long answer of the whole year and a half?
I mean, yeah, shit, it's been a while. What's up?
Well, I had a very, very busy pandemic year, actually.
You did. I saw lots of the master classes. And also, like, you're like the queen of TikTok, no? Is that...
No, your sister is. But anyway, the thing is, I joined TikTok a year and a half ago, and I got a lot of followers because I had a presence, but I don't know how to use TikTok. I repurpose content, and so I just repurpose what works. I'm not like, you know, doing all these comedy sketches and have 4 million followers. But
do you get jealous?
Do I get jealous?
Yeah.
Certain situations. I'm usually like, very like, oh my God, I want everyone talented to be friends. You should know them. Let's all sing together. Let's be blah, blah, blah. And then there's like every so often of like a certain like specific trigger of like a very specific jealousy.
Do you have an example? I want to know so bad.
No, I can't possibly say that on this podcast.
That's my entire goal here, is to get someone to reveal something that they really shouldn't. I think it's funny that way. I'm going for dirt, baby.
I'll tell you for drinks one day.
I love it. Do you drink? I don't think I've ever seen you drink.
You know, that's funny. I really am not a drinker. However, in the past month and a half, I have drank more than I've drank in all of my 30s, where I was like, oh, date. Like, you know, when you're like, I'm on vacation. It's an all-inclusive.
Oh, yeah.
It's a, you know, there's an occasion. I think that's kind of how I always am. I drink on my birthday. I'm not like, let's get hammered, but I had a drink like every meal.
Right. So it's like a drink, and it's not like there's
it's like
no
a drink. I did have a couple in Mexico. I did have a couple.
Hey, now let's all slow down. There was like, I think most of my 20s, and frankly, I blame Alex Brightman's presence in my life for this, but I drank so much that when I talked about my drinking in conversation, people were like in such shock. I was like, what, you don't have like 6 martinis a night followed by a few beers like every single night of your life?
I can't relate at all to that, so I'm very sorry, but I'm not going to judge you. Live your best life.
Thank you so much. What is something you would judge somebody for?
Drinking 6 martinis a night.
Okay, so you would judge me for that. I'm glad we turned that around. You are one of those names that before I moved out to New York, every person in the world knows the video of Quiet, the Jonathan Reed Gelt song that you sang the pee pee poo poo out of when you were, I don't know, you were probably like, what, 11, 12 in that video?
8, 7, I'm going to say 22.
Okay, 22, but like singing the whiz out of this thing. And I was just starting to like, is this what I want to do? Do I want to go to New York and do this thing and like be a composer? And that video was circulating so hard. So I had this name, Natalie Weiss, in the back of my head. And then I met you shortly after I got to New York. I had a show at Laurie Beachman in like 2010. And I think that's when I like met you.
Because I remember Anna Bergman was like, do you want to do this concert at the Duplex? And I maybe wasn't free. I don't know. It was like early on.
Wasn't free or wasn't interested? You tell me.
It was 14 years ago. So I genuinely don't remember.
This was a long, long time ago. You didn't know who I was yet. So I wouldn't have blamed you anyway. But I knew you as this singer. I know that you went and you've done tours and you did Broadway. And then over the years, first of all, it took us 10 years of knowing each other for you to actually sing something of mine, which blows my mind.
Oh my God, what was the first one?
It was in like 2019. You sang at my Joe's, not my 54 Below concert. You sang.
Oh my God,
that
was the first one?
That was the first show you sang for me. Yeah, which it blows my mind because I feel like I know you better than that for that to be the case. But, the thing that really blows my mind about you, and I applaud you all the time. No, actually, get right up into that mic. And what are you eating for our listeners? Tell us.
Okay, so this is meal prep stuff. It sounds really bougie, but meal prep chef. Uh-huh. It's really amazing.
It looks really good.
Cauliflower rice and asparagus.
Oh, man, that would have me farting all night. Good for you. Good for you. That's
oh, my God.
So sorry. We do a little fart talk here on this podcast. The thing I want to applaud you for, and I tell so many people this when I do masterclasses, Natalie Weiss has absolutely mastered entrepreneurship in show business. You are so good at utilizing the fan base that you have curated and collected and has grown so severely. You're international, for Christ's sake. There's people in Australia and London who clamor for you. And how did you kind of get savvy in that? Because I feel like, and you tell me if you agree, I feel like if you're going to college for something like musical theater, they should fucking teach you how to be a multi-hyphenate, because when things are slow in the audition world, you got to find another pie to put your finger in. You know what I'm saying? That sounded a little too suggestive, but what I mean. how did you like say, this is the route I want to go? It's not just teaching. It's a real specific skill set of like the Breaking Down the Riff series was pretty big. And now this masterclass series is going very well. And you're making a kick-ass living doing this. I mean, you have butlers and maids all around you at all
times.
Exactly.
I have butlers. Yeah. Yes. Floor to ceiling windows. I saw an apartment. I get the street easy emails I want to buy.
Oh, like, same girl. Oh,
but
my God.
When you see floor to ceiling windows, you can't unsee it. And
I know.
Like, I'm going to live. Anyway.
It's a real problem.
Yes. The masterclass series. So the course is a buy one and own. So you work through the modules self-guided. So that's not quite masterclass. The masterclasses are separate, like the stuff I did in quarantine. But the answer to your question is you're not going to like the answer, because there was no strategy is the answer, that I don't know what I'm doing. And I, first of all, the video of me that went viral, and I mean viral as in 100,000, which now is billions on TikTok,
right,
in 2006, which is 15 years ago, when a freshman put up a video of me singing a song, that is the video that started everything. So it was a complete accident, and I had a built-in audience that happened around the right time. And then my answer is always like, I rode the wave of the following, but like every single thing has been like not really calculated. It was like, this is kind of funny, and I think this is kind of entertaining, and I think people can learn from this. This is me sounding badly. I think people will relate to this,
yeah.
You know, like relatable stuff. And I always posted based on me thinking like, is this funny? Is this, you know? Huh. And then it was like, it caught on because I had the built-in audience. So it built off of that, but it was never like every Tuesday and Friday, I will post between the hours of this and this. Like, I have no idea.
But you do. I mean, like, you are, like, in terms of entrepreneurship and, like,
yeah,
being a CEO, sure, you've learned, but you also surround yourself with a team. You've got quite the entourage of people that are, like, always kind of a part of your projects, and I think that's so fucking cool.
Thank you. You know, I love my community, my team, my same few people that I, like, run everything by and write shows with me and, you know, help through applications of coaching applications,
yeah,
or masterclass submissions. I had a business coach that I met 3 years ago because they don't teach you that at BFA school.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's definitely like a process, but I also had to, I didn't have a plan in place a couple years ago of like, when I posted my coaching video of my bedroom, the room where it happened, videos that people are like, oh, you know, that's the room where it happens.
That also sounds suggestive. My bedroom videos. You don't want to see my bedroom videos. It's horrible.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Okay. All right. It's me eating spaghetti in bed alone. It's
crying yourself to sleep. So no, the bedroom videos, it's just because like I had the piano in there, but now I have my own studio. I moved into my roommate's room. So now I have an extra separate room. But
gosh,
the point is when my coaching business kind of blew up, I always coached on the side. Like, sure, you're from Germany and you are seeing a Broadway show. When would you like to schedule a session? There was no plan. It was just like, sure,
right,
I don't have to get a waitressing job. But when I posted my video that kind of went viral, my coaching videos, it was never like, look and book me. It was like, look how good this singer is. And
yeah,
I wasn't even
yeah
coaching him in the video. And then it was like, whoa. And then it became so much of my life of like editing videos all the time.
Yeah.
Hence why single for so long, editing videos 24/7, crying with spaghetti, you know, just editing
crying
all hours of the night.
Yeah.
But no, I think, yeah, that's really sweet of the whole entrepreneurship, but it's like, I think I'd surround myself with the right people. Like I have really,
that's
trusted
a big part of the advice, right? Like if someone said to you, you know, how'd you become entrepreneurial here? And you could say, I don't know, I'm kind of winging it. 'Cause how do you learn that kind of shit unless you're just doing it? You had the luxury of a video that went viral, but like with the advice you give to somebody who's mm-hmm in a similar position you were in, a young person trying to, you know, just get something started or try a new path within the arts, would you say to them, surround yourself
with
the
good
team
people? Yeah, I always say like, community is huge. Like number one, just
100%.
Your community. I mean, that's huge for my world.
My community here in Queens is not thrilled with me because of how much nude walking around I do. I'm only on the second floor. They're seeing a whole bunch of Drew Gasparini. Speaking of people in your entourage, can we talk about, I don't know what to call her. It would be your assistant?
Jules Brent.
You know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. She's everything.
All right, let's talk about Jules. We love Jules.
Let's talk about her.
I ended up like messaging her and following her on Instagram because you were just sending me these hilarious videos
clips of us singing your song and her practicing her accompaniment, and you know.
But everything you post to this girl is like the greatest comedy gold ever.
Oh, because I was showing
God
you her not knowing what potato salad was and stuff,
which is still mind blowing. That and the cottage cheese thing.
The cottage cheese or sour cream is rotten. Why would I want rotten?
Yeah, sour.
Cream?
That's
I'm
right.
Like,
that's right.
What?
That's right. That's right.
And she's a brilliant songwriter and singer. So basically the origin
yes
of Jules Brave, who is currently my transitioning to a full-time assistant, wasn't, I'm going backwards, assistant, intern, backwards, became, no, I'm going to go forward. She auditioned to be my backup singer in 2015 for my Highline Ballroom show. I had a 200 person casting call and I did a documentary about it, which was like the most fun time of my life. Like, let me tell you, sitting behind the table.
Sounds fun.
Letting everyone sing cuts and harmonizing and pairing people. This 16-year-old awkward AF girl walks in and we were like, this girl is so weird, as she knows she is. And she like blew our minds with talent. And we were like,
yeah,
okay, we should call her back, but we can't like give her the job. She's like 16. So she nailed the callback, like nailed all the parts. And I was so blown away by her, and she's only 16. And she tells the story of how she was like talking in her Facebook group about, hi guys, I met my idol, Natalie Weiss, and we went to French Woods different times, like camp. Do you know French Woods? Okay.
No, I've heard people talk
stage
about
door it. French Woods. Performing arts camp. So she auditioned, didn't get it. At my show, I said, there's this really special girl that blew me away. And I set up I Have Nothing at the piano and I pulled her on stage and she sang. Her mom took me out to dinner, thanked me, whatever. So then the next few years were complete acquaintances. She's like in school. She's like just a fan who is supportive in the front row and is like, yo, jamming to Taylor Swift covers.
Yes.
My Joe's Pub show in 2019, she was in the front row. And for some reason, I like connected. I don't know why I overshared with her about having a panic attack before my concert. And I was like, yo, I've already done this show. Why can't I catch my breath for 5 hours? And she's like, oh, my God, are you OK? And she was like, we're kind of bonding. The next day, she applied for coachings very professionally. And I was like, oh, I'll just, it's me, it's Natalie. Like, you're so sweet. You could have just DM'd me. Like, I know who she is. Her name is Julia Braverman, by the way, her real name.
Yeah.
And so we started coaching because she is an amazing singer who had complete anxiety and wobbly voice, who's like an amazing songwriter who was like, ugh. And she would take every week. Nobody takes every week with me. I do one-offs like that are like, I'm singing here. I don't have like regulars, you know, it's very atypical. So we started getting really close and like bonding like sisters. And then I was doing Emoji Land. This was like December 2019. She was coaching with me and we were just getting close. When pandemic, she saw opening, maybe the first preview of pandemic, I just opened up to her. We're getting really close. And then pandemic happened and I introduced her to another friend of mine and they became best friends through Zoom. So we would Zoom and we would have this thread and we would get so close during quarantine that Jules and Sean basically helped me write my course for me. Like as, I don't like the word protege because it sounds super cocky, but like.
Yeah, but I'll say it. They're your protege.
They're like learning my method and like helping me form it into modules. And like she had a lot of administrative skills that I was like, I'm disorganized. So it built into this relationship of she went to Berkeley and she needed an internship. And so she was doing Berkeley Online. So she became my intern and we became like best friend sisters. And she's like, how old am I?
Now, is having an intern like as easy as saying, okay, you're my intern? Is there like paperwork involved?
I signed one thing for a Berkeley professor. And it was just like a little more professional. She got some credit for being an intern. And then
Good for you. Good for her.
We hung out all the time. And, oh, this is why she got known on my Instagram. Because in our coaching, she would drop the F-bomb. And so she would.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yeah. It's I've already true. Said you it can a few say times.
Fuck. Yeah. Her fucks were so funny and so relatable. I would just put together fuck reels of her. And she was F-bomb girl. She became famous as F-bomb girl because it was like, fuck. And she just would like be so mad at herself.
And we would
just die. So F-bomb queen became who she is now. I encouraged her to release her own music. She was going to write for all these writers like Chloe was doing.
Yeah.
And I was like, you got to release your own stuff. And so she did.
And she did. And it's amazing. And I just think it's so cool that it all kind of stemmed from your encouragement and the way that you kind of kept your thumb on that pulse with her and like stayed in touch with her and like that relationship that was cultivated there. I love all that.
Well, I just love, and the part of the entrepreneurship is like, I always say like, I'm an only child. So many close friends of mine, I hate to say, started as fans, students, sisters, friends. They become this like really close figure of like my little younger friends. I have a lot of 22-year-old really good friends and I have 56-year-old friends, you know.
I'm different. I bat my fans away as hard as possible. I want nothing to do with them. I think they're all insane.
Yeah, but you gotta judge if they're normal people. And to be honest, it's weird because in this day and
age, none of mine are normal.
In this musical theater world, it's weird because they were like, hi, we're really good friends, but I actually was 9 years old when I saw you on the internet. That's weird.
Seriously, I get that all the time. I get things like, I'm having drinks with this guy. I'm like, wow, this is the most talented guy in the world. I can't wait to work with him eventually. And then at the third time we hang out and have drinks, he'll be like, I've been singing your stuff since I was 11. I was
like,
11?
A grandpa.
Exactly. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. But are you honored or are you weirded out?
Of course I'm honored. Isn't it an honor when you have people who like recognize you for whatever it is that and when you look at what it is you do, it's all kind of silly. It's like, I'm putting videos up on the internet. I'm singing. I'm just doing what I love to do. And if people seem to cling to it and like it, that is like a mega plus.
At the end of the day, we're just people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I'm more of a god, really.
Okay, yeah,
I tell
definitely.
That to most people. While I'm sitting here crying, eating my spaghetti in bed, I am also a god. Mm-hmm. Natalie.
Yes, Drew?
What is something you do when you're in a really bad mood?
Hmm.
What is something you do to get yourself out of the bad mood? Do you get rage and, like, you want to, like, punch a pillow or
oh my God,
something like that? Or you try to find some person on the street to scream at? These are not things I do. Let's just say they're not things I do.
Okay,
what's something you do to feel better?
I'm going to say Billy on the Street is a go-to.
I love Billy on the Street. Good quote. Like the
it's
best.
Just like, I just can't think right now. I need to be laughing about nonsense. That's a big fast one.
Yeah.
I mean, like, again, my support system of, like, venting and stuff. I would say, like, my vice would be gambling.
What? Really?
Yeah, I'm a huge gambler.
Okay.
Side passion.
How? Passion? This is like, I wouldn't, if it's gambling, is it a passion or is it an addiction?
I don't have an addiction because I don't do it enough. So I don't go to Atlantic City more than once a year.
Okay. Okay. But when you do, how much coin are you willing to drop?
My course did well, so I might decide to have a higher. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do like a high
Come
limit.
Come on.
No,
I want to know.
No, I mean, my thing is I don't buy designer bags or shoes. I would spend $3,000 at the poker table.
That's fucking insane.
I would spend,
Natalie.
I would lose $1,000 or more on roulette and blackjack and say I had a great 48 hours than buy a designer bag or a pair of shoes.
You know what I'd rather you do with that $3,000 or whatever you do at the roulette or poker table or whatever nonsense voodoo games you're playing at the arcade for grownups.
Okay.
Give it to me. Just if you're willing to just lose it, just give it to me.
I'll think of that next time.
All right. I'm going to shoot you my Venmo after this. So next time.
It's going to Drew Gasparini.
Thank you. God knows I could use
it. You're getting the advance for Karate Kid.
Once it opens, we'll be all right. But my God, the waiting is...
How's the process going?
So far, so good. We just had auditions. It's been... There's so much damn talent out there.
Is it Zoom or is it in person yet?
We had both. It was like a combination. And so like the last couple of days were in person. Like literally yesterday.
Okay.
And you know something? I'm not cut out for auditions. Like being on the other side of the table.
Oh.
I'm just not cut out for it. I want everybody to get the part.
Oh,
like,
I know. You get too attached. You're like...
Yes. And it's like, man, you know, that guy had the voice a little better, but that guy was such a good hang. I
want
to be
in
the room
with
that
guy. But that's important. You got to hang out with them.
Yes. Are you auditioning a lot these days or no?
I actually hadn't. And then I had 4 self-tapes out of nowhere last week. And one tomorrow. And I was like, you know, concentrating on other things. They weren't flying in.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I kind of always said that, like, I just don't feel great about myself in the process. I thrive being behind the table.
You know what? You shouldn't be auditioning anyway. You should be offer only. I was going to talk to the lords of this industry and just Natalie Weiss is offer only.
That's really sweet. And I had been the last few times I had booked a job. It had been.
That's amazing.
Which is, I'm very fortunate. I think the allure, the tricky part is the international like allure of like, oh my God, like, are you Jenna and Waitress? And I was like, no, I actually got an appointment for the second cover of the 7th, huh? what do you think this is? I'm not getting stunt cast person from London who's supportive.
Bless their hearts though, man. That's, I love that. And you should be, God damn it. Why not?
I mean, I would love that, but I wish I was, you know.
I'll write a show real nice for you. I'll write a real good part for you. You'll show up. You'll just be in rehearsals and you'll be in the show. I don't know when I have time, when I get some time. I don't want you to take any offense to this, but I don't know why I think this about you.
Okay.
I just have a feeling you might be better at this than me.
Okay.
Sending food back in a restaurant.
Okay. I don't know how you are, but the only way I would send food back is very nicely. And if I hate when this happens, let's say I don't like olives.
Yeah.
So let's say on the menu, it says 7 ingredients.
Yeah.
None of which say olives and olives are poured on top of it.
I've never, when in the world is, There's no mention of olives, but it then says, you get the dish and it's covered in olives?
Goat cheese. And then all of a sudden it's covered in olives. And I said, I'm so sorry. I really don't like olives. Is there any way that I could just get another salad? Ooh, that's all I'll say.
I want to see you storm into the back of the kitchen and just throw the plate on the ground and say, do better.
I appear to be more aggressive than I am. I actually panic.
Do people think you're intimidating?
All the time, and I'm over
it. Is it because you're so tall?
No. Yeah, I am tall, but like, I'm just so sick of, why isn't anyone hitting on me or giving me their number? You're intimidating. You'll meet someone at the corner deli.
What does that mean? You'll meet someone at the corner deli.
Corner deli. There's no R.
Sorry, corner.
Corner deli.
I'm from San Francisco.
Oh
here.
My God. No, yeah. I'm just sick of that. I've been hearing that for so long and I'm like, no, I definitely like have worked on my, as Jules would call it, IW, immediate warm. Cause I'm not immediately warm. And when you get to know me, I am.
Interesting. Why do you think that is? You're so self-aware of it.
Very. Yeah. So the pitch, this is the difference. The pitch of my voice is, hey, what's up? Mm-hmm. Right. I seem to be right over it. Hi.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, so the difference is like, for example, Jules and I talk about this. I have another friend. This is how I would answer delivery. Let's say the delivery man had, thank you. Bye. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. This looks so good. I would never do that. And that is Jules.
Okay.
So
is it false of Jules to do it? Do you think?
It is a little bit too nice. Okay. Like, hi, I was just wondering if we could reschedule my appointment. Okay, can we just,
right.
So I think there's a middle ground between like real and standoffish and uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. Oh my God. You know what? I feel like I wake up with the excitement in the timbre of my voice. It's like Bugs Bunny on a roller coaster is kind of where I idle at all times.
Okay.
So if I were to be in a conversation with someone, and it's, let's say it's Natalie Weiss, and she's giving me her not yet warm hello, hey,
not yet,
up,
kinda, hi,
you know,
okay,
yeah, hi. Yeah, it's like hi. I would overdo it to try to get more out of you, and my voice would just keep going, and then I'd be up here, and all of a sudden I sound like an insane clown.
Yes.
And I think that's a downfall in my personality, is trying to overcompensate with extra warmth when someone isn't coming at me with immediate warmth.
Exactly.
But you know what? I say reserve your warmth for the people who deserve your fucking warmth, Natalie Weiss.
I agree, Drew. Thank you. How do you send back food, though?
How do I send back food? I stand up loudly. I say there's a cockroach in my salad. And I say I'm taking my business to the Olive Garden. And then I storm out.
That's
how I do it. Do you have any regrettable choices, fashion choices, from middle school or high school? And if you do, what were they? I'll tell you mine first, if you want to hear mine. Mm-hmm. I wore puka shells like everybody did, you know, back in the day. You know, like the little white shells necklace that a lot of California boys used to wear. I used to rock that pretty hard with cargo shorts, a t-shirt, and a vest.
Okay.
And a Newsies cap. And I thought that was such a cool look. I had such immense confidence behind this look that I wore it until I was about 27 years old.
27?
The regret didn't happen until my 30s, but I'm really looking back and being like, man, that shit started in like seventh grade. I was kind of dressing like a ridiculous golfer or something. So what are some fashion choices from back in middle school? Because we're about the same age. So like this is the 90s we're talking, 35? Late 90s. I am 35. That's how old I am.
I'm 36.
That's about the same. 86 baby. You're an 85 baby.
85 baby. Okay. What are the fashion choices? I am completely blank minus like a pleather jacket I feel like I owned.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say the brows. Like that's number one for me of like the.
What? Tell me, explain. Oh, the thin brows.
The thin parentheses brows. They took a long time to grow in. So those were my most regrettable choices.
I still see people rocking that from time to time. And it's a little daunting now because the brow has come back with such full effect. You're like, wow, she didn't get the memo.
I don't know what's in style, but I'm going to keep these for a bit.
Your eyebrows?
Yeah, they took a while to shape and now I'm very proud of them.
All right. You're on a date, let's say. You're on a date. And what is a topic of conversation that will have you bored within milliseconds?
I'm probably going to say, like, if they tried to explain their finance job, I would be blacked out really soon.
Okay.
Like, I would see the white light really fast. Like, when my financial planner explains what's going on,
yes,
I get yes. a quarter of it. So I go, repeat that last part, because I can only yeah. process that so long. I guess maybe if they were talking about this, I don't even know why I thought of this, like something like Star Trek or something like that. I don't know. I don't even know why I thought about that.
Not to nerd shame, but it's like, enough already, you Star Trek nerd.
Yeah. What would be boring to you?
Cars. Anything that has to do with cars. I can't handle it. Okay. It would actually throw me over the edge. That's another moment. I would get up and say, there's a cockroach in my salad,
I'm taking
this date by myself to Olive Garden. It's a solo date at Olive Garden where I pick up spaghetti to go and I come sit in my bed and eat it alone. Mm-hmm. That's right. Do you miss the 90s?
I miss the 90s. The 90s were the best. I just watched
Notting Hill last night.
Okay, I have to be honest.
Yeah.
I think I've never seen that movie.
You know what? It's a rom-com. You'll get the gist. I mean, but it is just so charming. And the Hugh Grant is so British and charming. And it just made me really sit back in where I was mentally in the 90s. And gosh, there was just not a care in the world. Do you miss that feeling?
You know, yeah. What happened when you became adult? It's like everything just seems like...
It starts sucking a little bit.
There's
just a little
worries.
Bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, success comes and that's really cool, but like...
But I don't miss middle school at all.
Was it hard because you were, what, did you get bullied?
Minorly bullied. Sixth grade was really hard. Definitely.
Why? Tell me why.
I played a lot of instruments and had the solo on every instrument and was very embarrassed. And I looked like a monkey and I looked very unattractive with my braces.
You looked like a monkey?
Yeah, I was really kind of bullied for my looks and my music stuff.
What about high school? What kind of music did you listen to in high school? Can I make predictions?
Yes.
Were you a huge Destiny's Child Beyonce girl?
Yeah, I think Destiny's Child, like Britney, Christina, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys.
Okay,
sure.
So it was really the pop kind of stuff. Did you ever like accidentally find yourself being a fan of like... Cut my life into pieces.
Yeah.
This is my last resort. That was Papa Roach.
Oh, no, I remember Papa Roach and what is his name?
Fred Durst.
Fred Durst, like all of those.
Yeah. I did it all for the Nookie, Limp Bizkit. You know how people say Seinfeld or Friends? Are you more of a Doug or are you more of a Rugrats?
I don't know which I liked better. They were both iconic.
Iconic. I bet Phil and Lil, if they grew up, I bet they're both in prison.
Phil and Lil.
I think they were up to no good. That's my take on Phil and Lil.
Memories.
Stupid questions with Natalie Weiss. Here we go. Number one. If your voice was taken away and you were given a choice of whose voice were going to replace your voice, who would it be out of these three people? Harvey Fierstein, Kathy Griffin, or Gilbert Gottfried?
That's really good. I'm going to say Gilbert Gottfried.
Wow! Talk about an iconic voice. He's got such an iconic voice. Why would you choose him? I have to know.
I mean, the voices are just so iconically difficult. Harvey,
yeah.
But Gottfried, I would be like, it's just a bright... Would you rather? I'm really not great at, but I'm going to say it's brassiest and less nodesy,
okay.
I guess.
I feel like if you were to take his voice, I would hope it came with the Aladdin residuals he gets for doing the voice of Yaga.
Oh, man. And also, apparently he's doing well on Cameo these days.
Yeah, he does well on Cameo, and he's got a great podcast that if you don't listen to, it's really tremendous. And it's called Gilbert Gottfried's Silly, Fat, Fantastic, Silly... Bitch. I don't remember what it's called. It's a long title. Okay, Gilbert Gottfried, that's a great choice. I would have also chose Gilbert Gottfried, so I think that's why I was extra excited that you chose that. I'm just a little surprised. Last stupid question for you before we get to Twitter questions. And this one is really stupid.
Just two stupid questions.
Just two stupid questions, just because I feel like so many of the questions I asked tonight were
actually so
stupid. Okay, she has trouble drinking, and this is why she doesn't drink very much. Would you rather, this is another would you rather, switch your eyeballs with your nipples, or would you rather switch where your mouth is with where your butthole is?
Okay. Mouth to my butthole, you said?
So your mouth would be where your butthole is and your butthole would be where your mouth is, or your eyes would be your nipples. You go eyeballs to nipples. That'd be the obvious choice. Although I feel like it'd be for anybody else. If I saw you on the street and you're walking toward me with, you know, human eyes, but you had like the pursed up butthole mouth, I'd be a little less freaked out. But if you walk toward me with a regular mouth and nipple eyeballs, you look like something out of Pan's Labyrinth. So
that's interesting.
If you're thinking about how you come off to other people, I didn't know if you had clocked that.
Well, like,
I wanted
if you
to make
thought
sure.
you were intimidating before.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
You be-
My God. Okay. I get it. I get it. Is there a reason why in particular? Is it just like you've always wanted nipples for eyes?
You know, what the reason is? Because I misheard the question and I was thinking eyeballs for nipples only.
That'd be kind of cool. So, that'd be kind of amazing. Like double eyeballs then? That'd be like, that's another thing from Pan's Labyrinth as well.
Yeah.
Let me toss you a few Twitter fan questions. This one comes from Danielle Wood. She says, what's your favorite? And she spells it with an O-U-R-I-T. So she's definitely British. What's your favorite song you've ever covered by another artist, Natalie Weiss?
Okay, so I'd say that the favorite song, I do a mashup of Big White Room and You Don't Really Know Me by Jessie J. But I feel like You Don't Really Know Me, I always describe as like the song that I was like, wait a minute, if I wrote a song, it would be this.
Yeah.
The verse, it's just so relatable. I love it so much.
You love it. And you probably sing the whiz right out of it. Good Lord. Okay, next Twitter question. In fact, because you just mentioned if you had written it, I'm going to hop to this question here by Caroline Kay, who I actually know.
I know
she
her.
Was just in a production of, you know her as well. That's
yes.
fantastic.
She sang in my concert before. She's
a beautiful Irish lass and a great songwriter. And she just sang at the West End production
of my show,
I Could Use a Drink. She was
how
fantastic.
Was it and how was London? Do you love London?
Well, I'll tell you truthfully, it was great is what I heard. I couldn't get out there because it was of the, you know, we had in-person auditions the day after I would have gotten back. And the Delta variant was really rampant out there at the time. Mm-hmm. And safety and health reasons prevented me from making the trip, and it was really heartbreaking because I was planning on this for months, and these producers were so kick-ass and ambitious, and of course I want to be a part of it, but the reviews I read were outstanding and the talent was crazy, so I'm just lucky it happened. Here is Caroline's question for you. Does Natalie write her own music? This is coming from a tremendous songwriter herself, so
yes.
This must mean a lot. Does Natalie write her own music? If she does and she has released it, I'm angry at myself for not already knowing about it. And I've said this to you in the past.
Well,
we
both have a song together. I have it
We
on my
did. It's
song.
Still on my phone. Yeah, we have a half a song. We'll finish it one day.
I've written two songs, full songs. They were both in the key of C and they had four chords. And
love
they
it. That's all you
with,
need.
Yep. And then we wrote a half a song. And, you know, it's
that's
been on the back burner and like a list of things to try. I just kind of get distracted. I have so many
well,
ideas.
Well, you have a lot
like
going
like,
on.
Yeah, but I feel like it would be scattered and like too many topics, you know?
Maybe next time you go on vacation, you can make it like a little creative, like
ooh,
dive
retreat.
Into your brain kind of trip. Yeah,
I
retreat.
I
of
can't
sorts.
Dive into my brain anymore. I gotta distract. There's too much going on.
That's fair. That's fair. You need. That's where nostalgia kicks in, and you got to turn on an episode of Rugrats.
See.
All right. Last question for you from Twitter. This is from Liz M. Is there any riff that has completely stumped you that you could not break down?
Yeah, there's so many. I mean, there's some that I'm like, no, thank you. I mean, I have a list of them that I've collected for years that I was like, no, I think I'll just give up after that.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I mean, there's so many I just like can't think of any, but I'm sure a Yebba riff has stumped me.
Oh, yeah, Yebba's bananas. Are you kidding me?
And any Avery Wilson, any extra Avery Wilson one, I can't.
There's some Beyonce riffs that I feel like some people might be like, oh, this is rudimentary now, considering where riffing and singing has gone. But like, I'm like, what? How does the halo? I can't do that.
Well, you should have watched episode one of Breaking Down the Riffs, and then you would know. If you tilt your head on number five, you could land it.
Okay.
Mic
wow,
drop.
You heard it here first, folks. Mic drop indeed. Natalie, before we say goodbye, let me just say to you, It has been a thrill getting to know you over the years, but like really, truly, when I was moving out here, I was so excited to meet someone like you because I'd heard about you and I was becoming a fan of you. And to me, you were like this picture of someone in the industry I could potentially be next to and kind of do it together. And I think there's nothing cooler than when you see the success of people your peer age kind of happen. And it's been just a joy watching you create all these opportunities for yourself and all these other young artists that look up to you. That's my favorite part about you, is how many people cling to whatever it is that you offer artistically. Oh, I think it is so cool, and I hope everybody follows suit when it comes to entrepreneurship and being an artist as well. If there's not a class in colleges in the next 10 years, you should be the person to write that curriculum. To this day, one of my favorite singers of all time, and I think I am certainly not alone when I say that, and I can't wait to see you perform more and more and do all the teaching that you're doing. I'm really happy you came by to do this podcast, and I can't wait to see you actually have an alcoholic beverage, because I'll certainly join you for that.
I will have,
I'll have my six martinis, and you'll have your one glass of wine or whatever it is you drink. Exactly. Thanks for eating your lunch here at almost 5 p.m. with us today. And I hope you had a good time. I had a blast with you.
I did. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. Now We're Talking is a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network, and you can find out more about me and this podcast at bpn.fm/nowwe'retalking. On Instagram, you can find us at NWT Podcast, or on Twitter at NWT_pod. You can also find me, Drew Gasparini, at Drew Gasparini on Instagram or Twitter. A special thanks to Natalie Weiss for coming by. We love you, Natalie. And a big special thanks to you, the listeners. Make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast wherever you stream your podcasts. And if you feel like supporting, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/NWT Podcast. Now keep tuning in for more amazing guests every single week, and we'll see you next time, kids.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.